Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that applies scripture to current economic, social, political events. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about the intellectual darkness that comes upon those who abandon God. When a person is disconnected from God, he is not only disconnected from the source of life, but also the source of wisdom, knowledge, intelligence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. From the Lord comes wisdom, Proverbs 2:6. Deuteronomy 4, so keep and do the statutes, for that is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord makes wise the simple-minded. Natural, unsaved man, living autonomously from God, will fall into mental depravity. And ungodly people wrongly assume that their wisdom is their own. They don't realize how much of it is on loan from God. And if they don't use it properly, God repossesses that loan. And unsaved, ungodly people are not only morally bankrupt, but they soon become intellectually bankrupt. They lose all common sense. As it says in Romans chapter 1, their foolish heart is darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. And God gives them over to a depraved mind. Notice that in that Romans chapter 1 text, the emphasis is on the theme we're talking about today. The stupidity that strikes those who live ungodly lives. And if there is one good reason to become a Christian, it's this. If you persist in a life independent of God, you will fall into mental darkness. You will no longer think rationally, and you won't even know it. John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going." It's like a spiritual Alzheimer's. That might sound extreme, but that's a very good illustration in the natural world of what happens in the soul. In Alzheimer's, the elderly lose all sense of reality and become living zombies. But that physical ailment can happen morally in perfectly healthy adults. Even our leaders in higher education, in government, in the media. Romans 1:28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And it doesn't have to be an active decree of God. All God has to do is abandon you, and you will fall into a mental stupor, into a blindness. Now, one of the reasons I'm addressing this subject today is that back in July, four Marines in Tennessee were killed by a Muslim terrorist. Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz was the shooter. And over the next few days, a number of conservative commentators pointed out that government officials and members of the media were stumped over a possible motive. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said that the FBI was looking into a variety of possible motives. U.S. Attorney Bill Killian said it's premature to speculate on the motive of the shooter. FBI Special Agent in Charge, Edward Reinhold, said he had no idea what the shooter's motive was because there is nothing that tied him to international terrorist organizations. Then many members of the media played dumb. Shepard Smith, now the search for the motive. Don Lemon, too soon to know the motive. Lester Holt, the motive for the attacks is unknown. John Berman, are there any signs of motives? Paul Cruickshank, we do not yet know the motive at this point. Aaron Burnett, they're desperately trying to figure out what the motive might have been. Wolf Blitzer, this individual, Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz, we do not yet know the motive. Joey Chen, Investigators are already looking into the suspected shooter's background to identify some motive. The trail so far has not revealed much. All of this ignorance, and yet it's clearly obvious that this man was motivated by Islamic teaching. Terrorists in the Middle East, ISIS, must be rolling on the floor laughing at these stupid Americans. I mean, this was so ridiculous that it seemed as if one was watching a Saturday Night Live comedy skit, which is exactly what Rush Limbaugh pointed out. Back in 2007, there was a comedy skit on a major network show. And the skit was making fun of the media and the government's unwillingness to admit that the religion of Islam is behind terrorism. And the skit went like this. An anchorwoman reports, six men have just been charged with conspiracy to murder in connection with a plot to blow up buses and subways in London during the summer of 2005. Then the male anchor chimes in. The six would-be suicide bombers charged are Mukhtar Said Abraham, Ramzi Mohammed, Yasin Omar, Manfu Asidu, Adel Yahya, and Hussein Osman. Then the anchorwoman says, since their capture, the big question for Scotland Yard has been, what exactly is it that links these six individuals? What common denominator motivated this seemingly random group of young men? Then the anchorman chimes in, puzzling, isn't it? And throughout this whole skit, the audience is roaring with laughter. And the sad thing is that this comedy has become a reality. We are living in a world that is so paralyzed by moral relativism, by political correctness, by inverted values, that it cannot discern the causes for our troubles or the solution to our troubles. And the Bible says that this is exactly what happens to a people who abandon a biblical worldview. Let me give you some text. Jeremiah 4:22. For my people are foolish. They know me not. They're stupid children. They have no understanding. They're shrewd to do evil, but to do good they do not know. Jeremiah 10:21. For the shepherds have become stupid. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. Jeremiah 8:9. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? Isaiah chapter 19, verse 11. The princes of Zoan are mere fools. The advice of Pharaoh's wisest advisors has become stupid. How can you men say to Pharaoh, I am a son of the wise, a son of ancient kings? Jeremiah 49:7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there is no longer any wisdom in Teman. Good counsel has been lost to the prudent, their wisdom decayed. Ezekiel 7:26. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be added to rumor. They will seek a vision from the prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and the counsels from the elders. Isaiah 27:11. For they are not a people of discernment. Therefore their maker will not have compassion on them, and their creator will not be gracious to them. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will send upon you curses and confusion and rebuke in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually. And this is how God punishes a nation. He gives the people foolish leaders who can't figure out how to identify or fight the enemy, like Neville Chamberlain's capitulation to Hitler. These leaders believe that the way to peace is to pacify and accommodate to evil, and that becomes their undoing. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. Isaiah 9, 6, for those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought to confusion. Isaiah 5, 13, therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. So you can see that this is no small theme in the Bible. The unsaved, the ungodly people, people who have abandoned biblical truth, fall into mental darkness, and then they fall into disaster. Now, someone here might say that this is simply back and forth name calling. We know that atheists like to call believers stupid, and believers like to call atheists stupid. But I'm referring here to the authority of Scripture. And if you still don't believe, practically you will live to see the ungodly crowd self-destruct in their insanity. Now let's dig a little deeper here. Why are the ungodly stricken with stupidity? Is this a divine infusion of ignorance by the Holy Spirit? Well, there is a spiritual aspect. But what we see on the surface is that a secular worldview paralyzes the mind and keeps it from thinking correctly about the world, and hence mistake after mistake is made. George Orwell said some ideas are so stupid that only intellectuals believe them. Thomas Sowell said socialism in general has a record of failure so blatant that only an intellectual could ignore or evade it. Those men recognized the foolish pride of the intellectuals in our day. The other day I was speaking to a teenage high school student from Indianapolis. She said that every assignment and every reading in her English class was about feminism and racism. None of the classic novels that you and I used to read back in high school were even considered. The students were being taught that all of the problems of the world are caused by male patriarchism and the color of people's skin. Just the other day, I was watching a documentary where a secular do-gooder who's working in the inner city was lecturing to young black men that all of their problems are due to white racism. Now, there may be white and black racism, but it's hardly the source of most people's problems. It's not the Christian worldview that the problem lies mostly within ourselves, that we're born in sin and we have to fight the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is our problem, and we need a savior from sin. So we have a generation that is being raised on a secular worldview. Basically a fantasy that's trying to explain the world apart from biblical truth. A belief that man is basically good, that man is advancing through social Darwinism, that the problem is money, that the problem is the environment, or the problem is oppressive Christian morality. And of course, you can't make moral judgments, can't label certain people as being good or evil, because that offends people. That's too insensitive. Too intolerant. And what you get from that kind of philosophy is Ephesians 4:17. People who walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts, they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity. Back in 1987, a landmark book was published called The Closing of the American Mind by a professor of philosophy named Alan Bloom. The subtitle, How Higher Education Has Failed Democracy and Impoverished the Soul of Today's Students. On the back cover, it says, Bloom argues that the social and political crisis of contemporary America are part of a larger intellectual crisis, the result of a dangerous narrowing of curiosity, an exploration by the university elites. Bloom's book became a favorite for conservatives because he supported traditional American values. And you will hear this book quoted in conservative circles. So according to Bloom, what closed the American mind? He begins on the first page. There is one thing a professor can be absolutely certain of. Almost every student entering the university believes, or says he believes, that truth is relative. That relativism is necessary to democracy, openness, and virtue. And if you're not a relativist, you must be intolerant of others. The great danger is in believing in something or thinking that you're right. And this is Bloom's argument, that the American mind has closed because we have abandoned our belief in absolute truth, what is called natural law. And this abandonment of law has not led to an open mind, but to a closed mind. Bloom goes on to write that in liberalism today, there was a conscious effort to weaken religious beliefs. Religion was taken from the realm of knowledge and put into the realm of opinion. And in liberalism, any limits or rules are arbitrary and tyrannical. And so the old canard about liberalism is true. For liberals, the only absolute is that there's no absolute. Now, Alan Bloom was not a Christian. He was an atheist. But he followed Plato's teaching that there are absolute laws of right and wrong, and that they're established by nature, and they can be deduced by human reason. And that led Bloom to many conservative values, as opposed to licentiousness that's produced by espousing relativism. So on the basis of natural law alone, one might support traditional marriage and pro-life. Now we know that natural law alone is insufficient to bring a person to full truth, and that it can actually be used to justify evil. But Bloom used natural law and reason to support many traditional values. But the point that Bloom proves throughout his book is that there is a closing of the mind when one does not believe in absolutes, or rather in God's natural law. And rather than unbelief resulting in an open mind, it actually results in a closed mind. Bloom writes that relativism teaches that all things are equal, that there is no superior culture. There is no excellent life to be sought after. There is no good life. Therefore, relativism extinguishes the quest for the good life, which is the real nature of education. He also writes that science is destroyed because the culture no longer believes that nature has any standards. So let's think about this more. Why does relativism close the mind? Why does it sabotage rational common sense? As it says in Proverbs, evil men do not understand justice. And remember Pilate? He said to Christ, "What is truth?" And he was unable to discern right from wrong in regard to the trial of Christ. So he just throws up his hands and he let the popular vote decide, which is exactly what our politicians and judges are doing today. C.S. Lewis explains the reason why relativism closes the mind in an illustration that he gives in his book Pilgrim Regress. Lewis has a main character named John, and he is captured in a prison by a giant called the Spirit of This Age. Along comes a woman by the name of Reason, and she frees John by asking the giant to answer three riddles. The first riddle showed that the spirit of the age could not discern moral values because the spirit of the age had no basis for truth. The second riddle showed that the spirit of the age could not stop evil because the spirit of the age had no benchmark for right and wrong. And the third riddle showed that the spirit of the age could not identify a lie because in relativism, what is truth? And so the prisoner, John, who is actually C.S. Lewis himself, was set free from following secular relativism because it was unlivable. It led to stupidity and destruction. And C.S. Lewis, at this point in his life, was not a Christian. but it was his belief that there had to be absolute moral law that eventually led him to accept the message of Christ. And what we see happening to the lost today is meant to lead you to Jesus Christ. And one thing that's really surprised me over the last decade is that the ungodly secularists, who for the last century have prided themselves in their intelligence and their reason and in their science, have abandoned science, logic, and reason. Now, given what the Bible teaches, I should have expected this. But I didn't think it would be this obvious and this egregious that unsaved people would be so blind as to choose a political, economic, social course of action that would send them right into poverty and right into tyranny. And that education has gone down, not up. And as George Orwell said in his book 1984, the intellectual leaders are working to actually dumb down everyone. So now we can understand how primitive tribes became primitive. They abandoned their creator. They lost their God-centered worldview. Then they lost their common sense, their sense of excellence and beauty. Then they ended up living in squalor like animals. When a culture abandons God, within just a few generations, that culture is degenerate. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the rebel against God is a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood, and he will turn the watered land into a desert. So let me conclude by restating. Wisdom comes from God, and if you're not connected with God through the new birth, your life and your common sense will fade like a branch broken off of a tree. In fact, when you break a branch off of a tree, the leaves will look alive and fresh, but only for a little while. A few hours later, the leaves are shriveled up and dried. As Jesus said in John 15:6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. See, when you're unconnected from God, for a little while, you will retain some of the image of God. For a little while, you'll still live on the moral capital of God. But you're dying. As Jesus said in John chapter 12, if you don't come to the light soon, darkness will overtake you and it'll be too late. Your heart and your mind will become callous to the things of God. You'll live the rest of your life as a spiritual dunce, a stooge for Satan. As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a deluding influence will come upon you so that you will believe the lie, so that you will be judged because you did not believe the truth, but you took pleasure in wickedness. Furthermore, salvation is described as coming to repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and as coming to one's senses and escaping the snare of the devil. I urge you to come to Christ for salvation, blessing, and life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, the pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with comments, questions, or request a free CD of any program. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for granting us, by your grace, the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. Awaken the soul listening today that is still in darkness, captured by the spirit of this age. Save that soul for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.